Welcome to the Tiger Cast, a podcast designed to tell the story of Warsaw schools and inform our community about the great things happening to serve our students. Hey, Warsaw, this is Amy Lunsford, principal of Lincoln Elementary.
And I'm Kyle Carter, the Chief Technology and Analytics Officer for Warsaw Community Schools. Hey, we want to welcome everyone back to the show. Last week, we published a bonus episode back recorded during the summer.
That's right. Go, baby, go. It's an activity that takes place each spring at Edgewood Middle School. And if you haven't listened to that episode yet, we encourage you to go back and check it out. Such a great story.
Yeah. Powerful experience that partners WCS students with engineers from around our community. It's a great reminder of all the fantastic community partnerships that take place throughout our district.
Speaking of powerful experience, we have quite a powerful duo sitting in front of us today. We have a husband and wife team that made the decision to retire at the conclusion of the 22-23 school year. And between the two of them, they have nearly 90 years of teaching experience. So we wanted to talk about some of their experiences over the years as employees here at WCS.
So with that intro, we needed a drum roll with that.
No kidding. I'm so not good at that. Don't we have a button for that, Kyle?
There is, but I don't know. If I pushed it, we'd probably get a roaring, thunderous applause. Maybe we'll get that in at some point, too. So we're going to go ahead and introduce these guests this morning. So I want to welcome to the show Mr. Scott McClintock, retired teacher, Jefferson Elementary School, and Mrs. Deb McClintock, retired teacher from Harrison Elementary School. Welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Scott, let's get right into this. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and the history with Warsaw Community Schools.
Well, I started back, I got interviewed and hired back in 1979 by a principal at Jefferson, and I stayed there for all 44 years. And kind of the reason for it was when I interviewed there, it just seemed like a perfect fit and like home for me. The way people treated me and just kind of the whole atmosphere of at Jefferson. So yeah, I stayed there for 44 years. I taught second grade for 7 years and then got into fifth grade because science and history were kind of a thing I enjoyed most, and the principal knew that, so they moved me up to fifth grade, and so I was there for 37 years. And I coached for sports for 31 years, anywhere from girls basketball and volleyball to both track teams. So
a little bit of experiences there.
I had a lot of activities that I got to be involved with and participate in. Yes,
all right.
I'm sure lots of lives impacted during that time too. Deb, tell us a little bit more about your history at Warsaw.
Sure. I started at Lincoln Elementary, actually.
Woohoo! Yes. Nice, yeah.
And I taught there for 10 years. And then when we had children, Harrison and Eisenhower were opening up. And I wanted to teach half-day kindergarten so I could have more time with my children at home. So I was able to move to Harrison, sadly, because I really loved Lincoln. And but I really found a great home at Harrison and wonderful principals there that I've taught with. And I taught 10 years at Lincoln and 32 years at Harrison.
Nice. You know, you just don't hear that longevity of years in education much anymore. So that's like legendary. I love that story.
Well, and within that, just Jefferson for the
entire career. Time.
And, you know, just because of a new building, a move to Harrison, you don't see folks stay in one place, stay in one grade level, and it's not there anymore.
Scott, I was going to ask you if you were in the same classroom all those years in fifth grade.
No, because when they rebuilt the new wing of the building about a dozen years ago.
You got a new spot, huh?
I got a new spot because when they put the architect plans up, I actually signed my name on the plans for which room I wanted and which parking spot. And believe it or not, people really honored that parking spot, even though they didn't have to. But if my truck wasn't there in the morning, they were worried, where is he?
Yeah.
Well, and when he moved into that new classroom in the new wing of the building, he had the best teacher in the district across the hallway from him, right?
Who was that, Scott?
Mr. Kyle Carter. But we have a lot of stories about us moving up into that, especially before windows were even put in the building.
You know, there were some fun moments in that building project for sure. And speaking of some of those experiences and such, you've had some unique life experiences as well, Scott. Can you share a little bit more about some of those things that maybe you've done outside of school as well?
Well, yeah, back in 1985, Ronald Reagan said the first private citizen was going to be a teacher to go into space. And I've always had a inkling towards space activities and things. So I applied, luckily didn't get that job since that was the Space Shuttle Challenger. But it did offer me some opportunities because one of the 10 finalists was from Indiana. So he got to work for NASA for that next year. So he was working over in Ohio, but he wanted to come home because he was from Lafayette. So he would offer a lot of in services down there. So I got to go down there and meet some astronauts. I got certified in moon rocks, so I can call NASA up and actually borrow some of the rocks that were actually on the moon.
He's got an inside track.
And that's some soil samples. Cool. So that was pretty neat. Then in 96, the Olympics were here in the United States. And so a couple teacher friends put a nomination in for me as a community hero and sent it in from all the students of the building. So I was chosen, got to run the Olympic torch for the Olympics in 96. And then they turned around and did it again for the Bicentennial, so I got to run the Bicentennial torch also. So, yeah, just due to some friends at school and the kids having a lot of fun with some of the things I got to do with that, because they took, like, everybody down to the park, CenterLink Park, for when I ran the Bicentennial torch down through the park.
Yeah.
It offered a lot of fun activities and things. So, yeah.
Well, you're very humble, Scott. I think that has a lot to do with what you mean to people.
And,
so,
all that running. So why do people keep nominating you to run? I don't know where that would come from.
Well, yeah, I ran a lot of things for about 40 years. I was a runner, and then when the knees went, then became a walker, and I still try to walk about 8 to 10 miles a day.
Wow.
Yeah, we see him. We live in the same neighborhood, so that was actually when my boys were really young. They would always run up to the window, open them up. Hey, Mr. Scott! Oh. Yell at him across the road.
Fun. Well, hey, guys, 40-plus years is a long time. So what is it about teaching that has fulfilled you over those years?
Oh, I just the love of being around the kids and seeing their excitement and joy when they accomplish something, and when they've worked really hard at trying to read a story and it starts to make sense to them and you can see the lights go on. You know, teachers have this wonderful window of opportunity to see learning ignite in kids' hearts and minds. And
there's nothing like
it. No, it's a thrill every day when you come into the classroom and see that happen.
Yeah. What about you, Scott?
Well, there's so many rewards from a daily working with the kids. But right now, when I run into some of my former students, they say, oh, I went into teaching because of you. And actually, there's a teacher, brand new teacher at Jefferson this year who I had years ago, and I had all of her sisters too, but she said, I started teaching because of you, because of all the fun. A couple years ago, one of the students came back and said, I'm becoming a heart surgeon because you made me learn about the heart.
Oh, wow.
And when she got her test all right, I put doctor whatever on at the top of her paper. That's how you assign skeleton test or heart test, whatever. And so that's real rewarding to hear that you had that kind of an influence on their life.
Scott, I love that story. I think about, you know, so many things that we do that we don't think about the impact that they have. Who would think what empowerment writing, you know, great job, Dr. So-and-so, and how that sticks with the student and really does become a driver for them and their future endeavors.
True. Well, and I think that's a strength that both of you possessed, is that not only, and they didn't come back and say, oh, it's because of this particular lesson on this particular day. It was the extras you did to care. Deb, you talked about it was a spark.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Scott, you talked about just creating excitement and fun experiences in the classroom. And that's something that resonates and is remembered. It's not the content. Mm-hmm. It's the caring. It's the relationships.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nobody's ever going to remember your reading lesson, your math lesson, or any of the others, but some of the activities you did were special to them or memorable to them. So
how you made them feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
So I know this could be an episode in itself, but let's talk about it for a few minutes. Let's go all the way back to the beginning in education and compare it to when you left here at the conclusion of last year. How has education changed over the years?
Go right ahead.
Well, when I started in 79, there were no computers in the school building. There was one phone line that came in, and the secretary could actually send it over to the principal's office, but one phone line for the building, so you didn't have to worry about phone calls during the day. No copy machines. We had the duplicating machine
where you
had,
to
crank everything off. Yes. So one of the biggest changes, of course, is the technology and the things that we have at our access anymore. Parents are a little different than they were back then, mainly because they have more access to the teacher that they didn't used to have. Kids are still kids. Some of their interests have changed. It used to be the boys would come in and always want to be talking about the football game or something like that, and now they come in and talk about, oh, I was playing whatever computer game they had on the last night because they were all communicating with
together.
Each other. Yep. Yeah. So some of their interests have changed a little bit, but kids are still kids and just want to have some fun.
Good reminder to us. I think sometimes we think that they've changed a lot in the midst too, but it's really just their experiences and the things that they're exposed to or that they have access to, not necessarily them at heart. What about you, Deb? What would you say you've seen change?
The same. The dependence on technology now is so much different. When we lose electricity sometimes at school and stuff, and everybody goes into a panic, what can I do to teach? Because all their lessons are online. I'll come down to my room. I have files. I have books. You know, I'll take care of you.
I can show you how this works.
Yeah. We still had a lot of filing cabinet stuff.
I don't know. I kind of like it. Some of the best days that I had in the classroom were the days that email went down or there was something wrong with the technology because we could just focus on to have some conversations and teach and learn.
Yes. Now you get the emails each day about what's going on in the building. Back then it was you came in, you went to your mailbox and there were little sticky notes tacked onto it and you knew what was going on for the day there.
So the communication was still there. It just came in a different format.
Yes. And it was harder to ignore that back then.
So all the way back in 1979, I maybe wasn't born yet, but we won't talk about that. But all the way back then, so you still taught reading, you still taught math, all of that content is the same. You know, just life has changed
reading,
a little
writing,
bit
and arithmetic. They called it the three R's. and I think I even had to write a newspaper article when I was first hired. And we called it the three R's. And the last one, and then there was a fourth one, respect. And trying to teach that too. But
Yeah. So I'm excited about this question. Over the years, what have been some of your most memorable moments or experiences, maybe situations with students or colleagues that have just really traveled with you through the years?
The experiences that really stick out to me are the times that we were able to do extra things that our school system allowed us to be creative and go beyond the classroom. So we were given the opportunity to travel to China. And we paid our own expenses to go over there, but the school system gave us the few extra days. We took a spring break and then a few days after that to go to China to establish sister schools for both of our elementary schools. And what a wonderful opportunity to go and see and to teach. I was in a very metropolitan type of school. And the teacher sat at the back of the room, and I sat at the front. And there was, 50 kids in the room, and this whole team of teachers observing me teach. And then after I came back, their principal visited Warsaw, and we established an exchange program with the Chinese students coming here and staying with families here. And so what a neat opportunity for our community to see that people in China want the same things for their students that we want for ours. Mm-hmm. And what a wonderful opportunity for us to have that real personal experience. I hear from families that were involved with that often that they were really thankful for that opportunity.
Well, that program continued on for years. After the two of you helped to establish those relationships, that sister school, students came over for years upon years. We had host families in an exchange. Both schools, Jefferson and Harrison,
6 or 7 years it went on, and then pandemic kind of shut that all down. But it was neat to have about 25 of their students come over, and between our schools, we put them up with families, and then we had a big cookout at the end, and
very rich experience it was.
Scott, what about you? What's one that sticks out to you?
Well, that would definitely be one of them getting to go to China. Mm-hmm. My experience in the schools there was a lot different than hers. I was in a smaller community of about 3 million people. It was called a fishing village. But they didn't have me do as much teaching. I did observe them trying to teach English, but they were teaching it with Winnie the Pooh. They would put pictures up and show Winnie the Pooh with the wind blowing, and they would say, he needs a jacket and needs pants, and then they would show the sun come out and show. So, yeah, they were doing it a lot differently because they were a little bit farther out of mainstream.
Mm-hmm. I had my iPad with me. I took my iPad, and I had the little hookup to hook up to their computers, and they had a whiteboard that I could display it on, and I took books that were written in both English and Chinese. And
I was put a little bit more on show for them, I think, because there were at least two photographers following me around. I went to all their different classrooms, got to see paper cutting, their STEM classes that they were interested in. They were building balsa wood bridges and seeing how much weight it could hold. Went to a writing class, the big calligraphy pens that I had, paintbrushes I had to use. And the writing teacher would show me what to do, and then I would get ready to do it. And then they had these four little first graders sitting there, two of them on each side of me, with opera masks on. And they were sitting there with their finger going, pointing which way for me to go, because I wasn't sure which direction to go yet. So they're sitting there moving their finger back and forth, trying to help me figure out which way to move it, which that was very humorous.
Do you know what I heard in that? You were a celebrity.
Even when they put the red scarf on me, yes.
Well, we talked a little bit at the top of the show. A lot of years of experience between the two of you, just so much knowledge, and I'm in awe of that sometimes when I get the opportunity to talk to either one of you, let alone both of you together. So for all of the educators that are out there potentially listening right now, or maybe some educators that haven't quite finished up and are getting ready to get started here in the next couple of years, what kind of advice would you give them?
I would say look for the opportunities to find joy. Don't get bogged down with all this stuff, because that's always going to be out there grabbing your attention. But find opportunities where you can create joy for your students and yourself in your classroom. Things that you really resonate with, bring those to your classroom and to your students. And I think that creates an atmosphere that they will take with them forever and help them to be lifelong learners.
Yeah, you have to have fun because there are so many things put on us right now, I think, that try to take some of that joy away. But if you're having fun and the kids see that you're having fun, they're going to be more interested in what you're doing. And when they're having fun, they're going to learn more.
Yeah.
If you're just sitting there worrying about a test every day and drilling that, that's boring for you as a teacher, and kids aren't going to tune into it very long either.
But we realize there are things that you have to do, but there are always ways that you can put extra.
I'm not going to remember all those lessons you taught, but when you do something out in the garden, or you're out digging up something in the sandbox, doing an archaeological dig, you know, those kinds of activities that you try to bring in that are hinted at in some of the curriculum, they remember those things. Mm-hmm. So as a teacher, you got to have fun so that they can have some fun, that they'll remember things.
Yeah.
It's the experiences that go along with all of those learning opportunities. And I can remember, you know, Scott, we worked together for a number of years, and I always, one of my favorite activities was when the seniors would come back right before they graduate, those senior breakfasts. And, you know, I can remember time after time after time again, kids just coming in and telling stories about you and some of the experiences you created for them.
I just hope they were true.
Doesn't matter. They were legendary, right? I mean, but those were the things that they remembered. All of the shenanigans that they did in Mr. McClintock's class. Mm-hmm. Those are memories. Those are differences. And those inspire. And you did that. Really cool.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for, you know, at Lincoln, we talk about choosing your weather. Thanks for choosing your weather every day and for making sure that kids had good weather to come into the classroom too. Mm-hmm. You can tell that that was definitely something you were intentional to do. Deb, I hear that Harrison Elementary had a pretty big surprise for you at the end of last school year to send you off. Could you share a little bit about that?
Sure. When I retired, I said, let's not make a big deal about anything. They honored it right up until the very end. And the last day, they said, we're going to have a get-together out in the garden area. And so at the end of the day, they invited past teachers and present teachers to come out to the garden area. And they honored me by naming our school garden after me.
Aww.
So that was really sweet. For the last 12 years, I've managed our school garden. And that's been a labor of love for many of the teachers at school in the past. And it's a program that's been built on from the very beginning. Because when we first opened the school, it was a field. There was nothing there. And now we have a huge arboretum area and a vegetable garden that I manage, an herb garden and a pavilion. And we have a log school there that was originally in another location that's been rebuilt there. We have a fitness trail and an observatory and a greenhouse. And we've got a little mini orchard in the back of the building that with peaches and apple trees planted. And
nice.
So, yeah, just a lot of fun things that have, I'm just the last person, not the last person, but the present person that has been managing it and helping to see that it grows, along with so many other people that are involved with all those other things on the campus. So we've just, it's a team effort. So that was one location, and they just honored me with that, which was really cool.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. That's a very appropriate and very warming honor to have that named after you.
Mm-hmm.
So Scott and Deb, last question we've got for you today. You know, I drive by the buildings. I'm out and about often. And you know what? I still see your vehicles at these schools a whole lot. So what you up to here in retirement?
I go on Mondays, Monday afternoons, and I take groups of kids out to the garden from each grade level. I take a small group out to the garden. And then on Wednesdays after school, I go back with another teacher, and we have an after-school club called our E-Club. It's an environmental learning club, and they help go out and harvest things, and we take them back to the school and share them with the cafeteria. And we are blessed with a head cafeteria manager that will use those things in the school lunches for the kids, and we share them with the staff and the faculty and other classrooms. I make lots of salsa and bring in salsa and chips and things like that. And the kids help take care of the garden. And with the help of the other teacher that's still there, Paula Meyer, we just have a good time out there with the kids in the garden.
Well, I'm also working. I've got 4 raised bed gardens at school, so I'm back there and the kids help harvest it and clean it up and help manage that a little bit. And anytime somebody calls from school and says, would you be willing to come back and do this? So like tomorrow we've got family groups going on, so I'll be back to do family groups. Some of the science lessons and history things that I did that were kind of above and beyond because of some of my collections of different things that I have, like my meteorite collection and prehistoric bones and things like that. They call me back to do some of those lessons. And so, yeah, a couple of days a week, I'm probably back over at school helping out, having some fun. I can say yes or no.
And that's the good part, right?
Yeah. I saw the smile on your face, though, when you were talking about that. So I'm guessing they don't get no very often.
Not yet.
Well, Scott and Deb, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I wish we could keep this conversation going longer.
Yeah, so much to learn from you and your experiences and the impact that you've had on lots of kids here at Warsaw Community Schools.
And I do. I just want to thank you. I mean, there were so many kids over and over and over again. And I know you hear the stories and you've heard the stories over the years of kids coming back, but for everyone that doesn't, you made a difference every single day. And I mean, that's been inspiring to me over the years. It's been inspiring to others. So thank you.
Thank you for letting us come.
The school system's been great to us to allow us to do so many different things too. And we've appreciated that.
Yes, very much so.
All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed our show today.
New episodes will drop on Wednesdays throughout the school year, and we'll continue to advertise on the Warsaw Community Schools website and social media channels.
The best way to hear the latest and the greatest episodes is to subscribe to our show. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all of those other listing servers.
Thanks for joining us, Warsaw. We will chat with you again next week.